again, Father, for this great, wonderful things that you've done for us in our life, Lord. Granting us grace and mercy to come to the knowledge of the great salvation that thou hast so graciously provided in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Reaching out unto us, righteous sinners, O Lord, around the world. And pick us up from mighty clays of sin, Lord, and a sea of wasted life and carnality, Lord, and whatever is there in the cesspool of humanity, O Lord, where this world being under control by the evil one, motivating and moving the people, mankind, Lord, into the directions of the broad way to eternal destruction. We are so thankful, Lord, that you reach down thy hand and take us up. And wash us clean of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And cleanse us, Lord, with thy word of truth and life. We thank you, Lord, today. We bless thy name once again, Father, Lord, that we could be here gathered in that wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing in the presence now, Lord. Open thy word of life to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I believe that many of us heard about this name, a company called 3M.
Yes.
3M. And I guess many of us know just a name on a product like a Scotch tape, like some electronic equipment, electrical equipment. But I guess not many of us, or not even any of us here, know what 3M represents. And I was thinking that, you know, 3M represents maybe some kind of some states in America, Minnesota, Mississippi, and Missouri, or something like that. So actually, I did a search and found last night that 3M actually started as a Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company. So that's the 3M, Minnesota Mining Manufacturing. And that's how it started, and it branches out into all these products. And they still maintain the 3M. My message today is on 3M, but not on the company. Alright, let's go to the Word of the Lord. First, let us go to Psalms 51. And we read the verse, Psalms 51, verse 6. We are familiar with many scriptures in Psalms, obviously. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. That's King David now speaking, or wrote this psalm or singing to the Lord. And I think that one of the great characters in the Bible is really King David. From a youth up, he, unlike all his other brothers who went out to seek fortune in the army, you know, he's just a young boy and took to the wilderness, spent much time with the father's sheep, and out there in the fields, spent a lot of time. And I think it is, if I'm living in a land like America or maybe Australia, New Zealand, where there is big land, I wouldn't mind being a farmer. Or to be out there somewhere where you deal with animals and away from all this city life. You know, and if you look and compare how people live in city and how those live in a ranch or farm, or in the outskirts, in the countryside, you will find that their lifestyles are completely different, you know. And I know that many people who live in a city, a greater percentage of people who live in a city get to fly around, you know. You drive around sports car, nice cars, and eat in big restaurants. But those who live in the countryside, the farm, they don't get a chance to go to a restaurant. Like people who live in the city, or you know, live a fast-paced life, driving a big car, or even to get a chance to fly in a plane, you know. So The kingdom David was just like that. He was a young boy and he was out there in the field. That's why he's a character that we can learn from when he spent much time with the Lord and cultivate his mind. The first thing, the first end I'm talking about, it's the mind. And he knew, he said that, "Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." In the inward part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And you know, the only way to get wisdom is to have a lot of time spent in the Lord. You must remember that. You know, most Christians consider their own secret life out of bounds to many people. You know, it is the same thing here in this fellowship here. I remember years ago, it was back in the 80s, I believe, I had some sort of a card to fill in your name, you know, your birthday. So, you know, just for the sake that I need to know every one of you to know, you know, your age and things like that, and where you live, your address, the telephone number, your occupation, and so on. When those cards comes back, you know, I have the name, I have the birthday, I have the telephone number, I have the address, but I don't have the occupation. Many of you, in fact, here, back in the 80s, don't even want to put your occupation down. And I was only wondering, what did this brother and sister doing? How did they live? What did they get their earning? You know, and it becomes so secretive, and I didn't even want to ask, approach you, any one of those who gives you the, put in the blank page, on occupation. I don't want to say, brother, sister, what is it that you're working? I don't want to ask you, because if you don't want to fill in the form, that means you're very secret to keep this to yourself. Maybe you have an occupation, you think so lowly of yourself, you do not want to put your occupation on. You see, and human beings are just like that. I don't know the secret parts in your life, neither do you know my secret part in my life, if we all want to hide it from the others. We tend to keep many things secret from the rest of the world, from our family, from our friends, from our colleagues, from our brother and sister in the Lord. Perhaps to a certain extent, whatever you do in your career, whatever occupation you hold, your parents, your mommy and daddy knows what job you're holding, obviously. But in the family of God, your brother and sister in Christ doesn't know. That's kind of odd. And I've said it many times, it is true, there are a lot of people, throughout the years that I've been in Message 71, until now, growing up, people trying to get it, people to open up and share so that we all can be a real family of God. But many of them says, look, this is my family. No one intrude into my life. You don't need to know what I work as. You know what I mean? You know, even in the car, there's nothing to do without anything to do with salary. How much you earn a month? I'm not interested in how much you earn a month. You see, it's not my business to know how much you earn a month. But at least I need to know whether you are a nurse, whether you are a pilot, whether you are a sailor, you know, whether you are, you know, a technician or electrician, or whatever you are doing, so that I know, you see, so that, you know, should be anything, people like be introduced to somebody, at least I can say, oh, this brother is an electrician or technician, something like that. You know, if I don't know about you, you're only your own natural family know about you, that the church people doesn't know what you're doing, it's kind of odd, you see. And I have loved that. I said, well, people want to keep themselves, you know, consider the secret life, a personal property. What can I do? I cannot do anything to intrude in it. So we need somehow to realize that this is the thing that King David realized. There are things in his heart. He kept it very secret. He kept it personally to himself. You know? But he wants the Lord to open it up. And to want us to be able to have wisdom. How to handle that inner person. The inner person that is within him. So let us approach the same thing to the Lord. Don't put it as an off-limit sign. You know, so if you put it as an off-limit sign, I can't do a lot of things. You know, as I said in the past, I have 40 years in 71, the ministry started, Rehoboam comes in, we get to know when they were small, we were just about maybe 7 to 10, then to 12, and we start to grow. And but later on, as more others came in, a lot of things began to change. The closeness of that dozens to 20 people became off limit. It became, because of the problem, because when the church gets a little bit too big, tendency is that there are always brothers and sisters that like to click to themselves. That is natural. You know, you have a certain interest, you tend to click. But it actually builds up a problem also. If we have this a secret feeling in us to put everything off limit to the others, but more revealed to somebody, it's very natural, but it also creates a certain problem. And in the end, what happened was, of course, I noticed that I can't approach some people, and brothers or sisters, when I see something that was not right, they tend to feel that, you know, they are okay. And one of the problems in our life, in our society here in Singapore, not like America, but people have a little bit of a mental problem, a little bit of uneasy, maybe just a mental feeling that doesn't feel right, they will go see a psychiatrist. But in Singapore, no, to see a psychiatrist is a stigma. You know, people think that you are mad. You see, and so the same thing when we come to, oh, I have some needs, I need some counseling. But a lot of us, people don't go for counseling. You know, in the past, very few people come and talk with me, bring and have something to discuss with you, you know, and need some understanding. So they call me up and we sit together, we talk and that. But there are some that do not want to. And when I see some problem in their life, I approach them and tell them about certain things. They feel that they're okay. And in the end, the result was not good. It became bad. Because they are not willing to open up and talk. And you know, being alone is the worst thing in life. And when people grow old, you know, when you grow old, you tend to keep yourself alone. And it's very dangerous. Never be alone. When you grow old, you need to talk to somebody. You need to have friends. To be left alone without friends, without anybody to talk to, is a terrible life you live. And sometimes because of the natural life that you live, when you are young, you want to keep yourself, everything, you keep yourself. You know, you secret others away from you. You are keeping everything, your own personal, you know, feeling everything as personal. Everything all about, and nobody could help you. And King David David being out there in the field. I mean, he is alone most of the time. I mean, his brother are all busy out there, you know, in the camp, and his father is out there in the home, and he has to look after the sheep. And so who does he talk to? I mean, when all alone, so you need to talk to somebody. And that's why King David, as a young man, began to have a lot of time in meditations with the Lord. And, you know, he considered what he think deeply. You know, he looked at the things that in the field, he looks at all the creation. That's why he wrote so many songs, you know, just to talk to the Lord. And God became very real to him. And that's why he said here, behold, thou desire through the inner part, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. If I can know, if he can know himself, what he's thinking, what his mind is. Remember one thing, our mind, who is always at work. Every second of the day, every 24 hours, even when you sleep, your mind is working. Is that right? Only perhaps you do not know, you are dreaming, and sometimes you dream, you wake up, you remember. Sometimes you dream, you wake up, you don't remember. And yet you know you dream. Is it? Our mind is always working. There's so much, you know, information that you gather in the daytime. At night, it's trying to decipher, perhaps. Or try to shut down, but it can't, because it's still working. You see? So, David, sometimes we call him, praise David. Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. And this is a verse that we all know well, because that the song where we used to sing, 139 and verse 23 to 24. Search me, O Lord, or search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in way right everlasting. Search me, O God. We may not let man search our life if we feel that we want to put a sign off limit to anybody who tries to find, you know, to learn more about us. But we should never be afraid to let God examine us. King David says, honest and simple. He says, search me, O Lord, and see if there be, search me and try me and know my thoughts, know my thoughts. You know, this mind of ours, you know, many of us find hard to control the mind. Like, you know, it's always either you're thinking something about your work, about your school work, about certain life, or otherwise it drifts away to thinking about some other thing. So the Paul talks about how that we should be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of his mind. There's no 100% guarantee. People think, oh, the moment I'm Jesus Christ, I'm okay. You know, but the problem is that the moment you come to Jesus Christ, you realize that you're not okay. There's so many things that you know that you need to be cleansed and get rid of. That in the reigning in chief, when you become a Christian, hey, why did the white dog come? You know, came in. You know, why did he come in? To his mind. All of a sudden there was this white dog. All the time it was all the black dogs. You know, he talked to Brother Bram and said, oh no, I have this dog biting, a black dog and a white dog fighting. You know, before you are a Christian, before you ever converted, you only have one dog in your life, and that's a sinful dog, that is the old man that do anything he wants to, he doesn't have any problem. Is that right? But when you become a Christian, you are converted, that is the Spirit of God comes in. So the Indian chief was using this analogy about using the black and white dog. This struggles between that which is good, which is the other one, which is bad. You know, the white dog wants to win, but here comes the black dog trying to, you know, fight against it, to overcome it. And this mind is always working. Being transformed by the renewing of mind, you have to renew it. And how to renew it is to let the Lord search our heart, to know our inner thought. As Peter may see, there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Is there any wicked way in us? What do you mean by wicked way? Doesn't mean necessarily that you think wicked things to want to harm somebody in that sense. Anything that is wicked is anything that is bad. You see? You know, cheating, lying, these are all wicked things. You see? Think evil thoughts of others, they are all wicked things. As a mind, that's the first hand we are talking about. You know, every one of us, every child of every one of us should search our heart every day, several times a day. You know, I believe that if you are thinking something that's wrong, you know you're convicted, and you start to search your heart. You have to. And the wonderful thing about us is that because we have an advocate, we have the presence of the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, being the teacher to guide us. You know, when I was young, before I was a Christian, I don't think about anything else but to do what I want to do. I went out, when I was young, you know, I met my mom very sick. After school, instead of coming back, I went out there to catch tiger, catch fishes, you know, in those times Singapore was kind of wild, we had still a lot of kampong area, and when I see a little pond out there in the farmland, you know, that you have this fish inside there. Any kind of fish, you know, it just kids are kids. I was a kid, of course, one time. But now I'm an old man. So, so you go out there, you want to sort of catch fish, whether it's sampang kwa. I used to remember those little Japanese fish, you know. And just throw in, just swim in the pond, and we just go there and catch, you know. We don't even know the danger of how deep the pond is, what's inside the pond. Or just a little pool of water. You know, and we're just catching and we were very happy, you know. And it was sunset, and not even though it was dark, the sunset very quickly, it was dark. And those days, Singapore was considered very bad. You know, people say, you hear about construction workers, or, you know, people want to build some, maybe a bridge or what. Some people will have an Indian man go out there, cut off your head, and then as a foundation for the bridge or something like that, you know. And the sun was set, and everything was dark, and I went home real late, and my mom was really sick and gave me a real good thrashing. I deserve it though. See, my mom was only concerned about what I want to do, what I was interested in. When I was young, I was a really a naughty fellow. I didn't go out there like to all these kung fu kids and fight with young people, fight with others, you know. I had a very bad temple too, but I lost that already. And I came to Jesus, I really lost that temple. And I don't want it to come back. You know. And so, that is what it is. So, we don't think of minority, but now that we are, I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit is present. Every time you think a wrong thought, every time you do a wrong thing, you feel very convicted. You know that it is wrong. You see. And so we have to, like the King David, examine ourselves regularly to let God read our hearts, read our mind, what we are thinking of. You understand that? Alright, so we don't want to be what I said, we have a good nation, we have everything. Each time when I see and read the news or hear the news about some misfortune in another country where because of the country is poor, maybe of course many times it's due to corruption or whatever, a lot of people are suffering. And you just feel so privileged to be here. But here, on the other hand, I feel that living in Singapore now can be very frustrating. And because of that, we get crowded in our mind and we don't really spend time with the Lord. And we tend to just brush things away too, at times, you see. Because we just have to catch up with our career and make sure that we get more money in our bank and for a better life later on, you know. Alright, and so when God begins to search our heart and somebody knock at the door and say, who's there? That sort of thing. When God comes knocking on our door, want to speak to us and spend a little more time with us, and who's there? We begin to try to brush off things. We try to brush off even Christ coming into our life. You see, I failed God many times in the sense that I was feeling too busy with things, you know, maybe with a ministry that I don't have time for the Lord, even so. You see, and not forget that it's very true. A person can be immersed in the ministry of the Lord that he can completely forget about God. Do you know that? You see. Doing doesn't, you know, you can do it. You can do God's will God's will without it being His will. Because you're so taken up with it. And so the Bible once said, be still and know that I am the Lord. You see. Jesus Christ went up with the disciples, he sent them up 2 by 2, they all went up 2 by 2. They came back, they rejoiced and all this and that, and Jesus Christ said, well, rejoice because your name is written in heaven, you know. But they were taken up with all of this ministry. They would say, oh, we healed the sick, we have done this, we have done that, and so on. They get thrilled by it. And that's what we see over in Pentecostal charismatic world today. They get thrilled by it, and so they don't even know what God is doing. They don't even hear what God is doing. Alright? So, this mind of ours, let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And I think I have the wrong verse here. Yes, verse 7. We know this verse well. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have people think that they are somebody, and it is commonly saying, hey, look, you are not what you think you are. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What you think you are. You are not what you think, but what you think you are. And you know, as a man thinker, so is he. So what actually you are thinking to be or to do something is what you are. As a man thinker in his heart, so is he. We manifest what we think. This mind is at work. Every time you go out, every time you go to work, on a train, bus, wherever we may be, this mind is always absorbing. And we begin to think, we begin to take information, and in our heart we want to do something. Or perhaps you are frustrated with the world. Perhaps there may be covetousness in your heart. You plan certain things, you think certain things. Or maybe you want to achieve to be somebody. Whatever you think in your heart, whatever you think in your heart is what you are. Even though you may not achieve your desire, whatever you are thinking, you may not achieve that in the end, but still, it's still working in your life. It eats into you. As you all know, there are people who try to get something for themselves that they would have to go and cheat and lie and steal so that they can be somebody out there. So they can get what they want. But there are those who think all these things and try to work honestly towards it but never could. And they are so frustrated in their life, but they continue to think those things. And your life is all built up, your life is all centered upon what you are thinking. And therefore what you think you are. So what do you think you are then? So Jimmy, that's a soldier man. Soldier, I don't know what he wants to be, maybe go out there to be a brigadier, no, I'm not sure. Whatever he is thinking, I have no idea. You know? I don't know about the Eunice, maybe you want to be a psychologist, no, you want to be something else, I don't know. Whatever you think you will be, if you really think hard on those things. You know, for me, you know, young, I wanted to be a, you know, I was thinking maybe I'll be a doctor or a teacher. You know, something that I can do with my hand, not be sitting at the desk, you know. But I wasn't thinking very hard on this. Because there came a time when God was being in my life, and I said, well, I know now, I don't think this thing can be. You know, so I surrendered my life to the Lord, and the Lord moved me into this ministry. You know, so coming into ministry, now the thing is this, I have to fulfill it, so I think on these things. Think on the thing which I need to fulfill to do it. And then you set your mind to do it, and you are what you are. So what do you think you are? What you think is what you are. We have to make our thoughts, lay our thoughts in order. So don't meddle our thoughts. And that's one thing about when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to spiritual life. We need to set our thoughts in order, or else our spiritual life would not be in order. We would be going wherever. You know, one part of our mind will be saying to go, and yet we don't do it because we don't set those thoughts in order to do it the right way. That's the reason why the Bible, Paul told Titus, Timothy, and all these younger disciples of his who follow in his ministry, he sent them out like Titus to Crete and says, you set those, set the church in order. You know. And even he reminded Timothy, don't forget to do your work as an evangelist. Don't be concerned about something else, but do that which is more important. And if God make a man to be an evangelist, and he wants to be just a pastor, you know, pastor of church, and doesn't want to go out, then his thought is wrong. And the same thing with the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 6 told us, let us go on unto perfection. You know, therefore let us go on unto perfection, not then again. You know, once again, repeating all those things that we have already learned. But let us move on. You see, putting aside all those that we have already learned, and just move on. You see, not repeating over and over again. And how sad it is when you talk to people about this and that message. What is the message? Like the man of you saw, he doesn't even know what the message is all about. You see, many of them say, yeah, we come to Christ, yeah, come to Christ, it's easy to say, come back to the word that is easy to say, but what on earth is it? Now, I shared with you on Friday, I read this booklet, something the man just sent it to me, I never asked for him, I didn't even know who he is, but he came to my website, I guess, and then he took my address from there and started sending me booklets, and all the quotes of Brother Branham. And then I would not say expound, he will give his opinion what those verses meant. And I came to know something new from what he said. And it isn't something that you can accept to be true because it's not scriptural. You know, he was standing around, he was illustrating that the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump, by using the tabernacle of Moses or the temple. He said that the voice of the archangel is deep, but then the holy place in the ark. You know, the shout is on the outside. Now there all the people are shouting on the outside. And there are people that are already blowing the trumpet also. Now you see, it's in the church. Okay, fine, never mind. Then he said, you see, we need to go into the little room and eat the book, the little book. Oh, that sounds very good. And what is the book? What is the little book of Revelation 10? You know, the little book that John was told to eat, the little book. You know what is it? It is the message. It is the message. The little book is the message. It's all the which Brother Branham said. It's all the books of Brother Branham. Now, you. Because the first time I heard that, now this is the second version that I know. The first version was that the little book in the hand of the mighty angel was the 40 books of Paul. And we only eat those books of Paul. And what is the purpose of Peter's epistle? What about the book of Revelation? Is there no purpose there? Because after all, that was not Paul writing the book. Isn't it very strange when people have such interpretation? 14 books of Paul. Now we have the little book is the message. All that is contained in the tape. You see. And I told you one thing, that there is the book that was opened is none other than the book of life, which is the word of God. You know, in analogy and the figurative representation spiritually to tell us what it is all. And there is only one book that can give us life. One book that is sweet to eat but bitter when it gets inside, because it builds us up. The bitter herbs is good for your physical body, so is the word of God. It's good for your soul. And that is all that is what it is pertaining to, the sacred word of God. The revelation of the living God. But you see what I'm saying? If your life is not in order, if our thought is not placed in order according to the word of God, we can give it any kind of interpretation that we want to. It will never change. Unless you come out to the word of God, we line up, and you know what? And I believe this, like I said on Friday, I shared with you. No matter how you look into the Bible, when the Bible set a pattern, we will see the pattern over in this last day. If you look at the pattern of the early church, how did the church started, how was it built up, how was it established, how doctrine was established, and you realize, if you look at it, you will see it, that God has set in the body the fivefold ministry with a proper order. Firstly, apostles; secondly, prophet; the evangelist, pastor and teacher. You cannot change this order around any way you want to. You cannot make this order that every one of this order can interpret the word of God. Because if everyone can just interpret the word of God as they want to, that means there is no order. That means to say, I was saying this, that we don't need to have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Just say that God sent the body preachers. And every preacher can be anybody. After all, preacher is just a title. There is no apostle, there is no prophet. You know what I mean? So a pastor is no longer called a pastor, it's just called a preacher. You understand? What is a pastor? It's a shepherd. Shepherd what? The sheep. What evangelist? Evangelist, evangelist, to go out there evangelize. To go out there spread the word. That is his calling. And if everybody just called pastor, then everybody can do whatever they want, preach whatever they want, interpret however they want to. You see? But the Bible makes us to realize that even Jesus Christ was known to the Jew or Israel as the prophet. When the church started, when accepted the Holy Spirit came out, he was no longer called a prophet. You know that, don't you? He was called the apostle of our faith. You know. But today, when people do not want to be taught, and they say, oh, we got a message, we come back to the message, but they don't know what it is all about. There's no order in this whole anti-message movement. There's no order out there in the religious world. But in the organization, as far as the church is concerned out there in the organized world, they have some kind of order. That's true. But look at charismaticism as a whole. What order is there? Pentecost, what order is there? What about anti-message? There's no order. Many of them, just anything will do. You see. Become ecumenical. You know, somebody sent me a link and asked me to watch this on YouTube. And it's about the only one and true God, Jesus Christ. It's just a video clip where a song was sung called Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. You know, and then just all the Bible texts about one true God. And then as I watch it on the site, you know, if you open up YouTube, there's always advertisement on the site or other links, other video clips. And so there was one what caught my eye was Shalom, a Wiccan became a Christian. You know what's a Wiccan? Is a witcher. You know Wiccan? From Wiccan is a witch. She was a witch. So I click on that and to see she was testifying how she had been a witch for many years, 20 odd years, and how she became a Christian and so on and so forth. And at the bottom of that clip, this clip is in answer in response to this clip. And he gave a title, Bobby Conner something. I don't even know who this is. I click on that link just to, and here was a preacher, a big preacher in America, Bobby Connors. I don't even know him. As I said to you before, I have left Pentecostal for a long time. I have left Charismatic. I'm not interested in what's going on out there now. You know? So I don't know who this Bobby Connors is. See, look, he looks to me like about 41 years old, or maybe 50 years old, man. You know, and I just click on it to hear what he was preaching. And my own goodness, I couldn't believe what I heard what he said. And I look at a comment below, and then some people was saying what a vulgar word against him and all this. You know, he was preaching and was saying that, you know, I was, I was preaching someone to this church, and there was a man who was challenging me and so on and so on. He stood up while I was preaching, and I put my hand up like this just to stop him, and suddenly there's blue flame coming up on my head. Boom! And he went down on the floor. You know, there's another time when, then the way he was talking, and one woman talked to him, and then about trying to ask him to relate an incident that he talked before. He said, "Oh yeah, well, it's in this church." And then I was preaching, and here came a group of these women that came in. They are Wiccans, huh? They are witches. They came in. A few of them walked in, they stood me on the side and began to observe and all this. And he said, then there was a conversation between him and them. And I asked the woman, "What can you do this and that?" They try to show their power against it. But I said, "Well, they have no power, you see, because I'm Jesus Christ. I have no power to cast any spell." You know. So then I said, that one woman, one of the witches began to speak, and he said, he put up his hand like that to stop her. Again, he said, "What? There was the blueprint coming up, and she began to go lean against the wall, fall against the wall, and was lifted up, going up along the wall." You believe that? He said, "The church was doing that." And I look at the comments, some of them says it's all kind of vulgar words, and it's all baloney, there's a lot of bull, you know. He said, why don't you take a video of his hand with blue flame coming out, so that we can see it. You know what? You know, it's so sad. So I was began to type to find out who it is, Bobby Conner. More about him. Google it. When I type Bobby Conner, I Google it. He told then about his church and his ministry. And then there was something, one link that caught my eye. David Wilkinson. You know David Wilkinson, the cross and the switchblade, the one that if you have never read the book, go read it. He was a real man of God. And out there in New York, you know, he transformed a lot of drug addicts and prostitutes and all this among Christ. And then he was really mad. Now, of course, he's old. He's probably about 80 years old now, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe 70. And you know what he said in the link was about David Wilkinson's blast against all these Pentecostal preachers. And I read the article and the report what he said against them. He said people like Benny Hinn and Pat Robertson and all these things talk about all these big things about all these signs of America, they're all not true. He said, and I agree with him. He said they have making the Bible a lie, but they are making a lot of money in the pocket. And he quotes scriptures, you know, about how people give it to the rich. These people are rich. Make them even richer. And there was one preacher he quoted to say that you don't need to ask Jesus Christ for your child to be healed. All you have to do is believe. Just put your money where God's ministry is and your child will be healed. Goodness me. You know Benny Hinn did the same? You know there's no honor. There's no honor in the mind of many Christians. They get excited by signs of miracle, all this babble of speaking in tongues, a little thing, sensation, they get all excited. You see that? You look at Brother Bear's ministry. What sensation was there? It was real. The person comes, he does this son and that's it. He didn't make a big show of it. Did Brother Bear make a big show of it? No. Look at Benny Hinn, look at Pat Robertson, all this
Bobby Collins. And this guy, when he was preaching, go look at YouTube. His name is Bobby Collins. You know, he was a joker. You know, he was preaching, was healing somebody. You know, he just like bend him, put a hand, boom, whatever, fall down. And he was joking with people, you know, joke. And he's a great joker. A preacher who is joking while he was preaching, ministering, was joking completely. He had a lot of hilarious nonsense. You know, and all this holy laughter. You heard about the holy laughter? Toronto, back I think it was in the 70s or something. Man, it caught the whole world into a sensation. Holy laughter. You know, it's so simple. If here were 5 of us living in holy laughter and I start preaching about holy laughter and these people start to laugh because they are with me, and you sooner or later you feel, hey, I better laugh too, or else I look like a fool because I don't believe. So everybody starts to laugh. You're lying to yourself. You know what I'm saying? This holy God is lying to themselves. I have seen the Holy Spirit, you know, what you call not saying, but for the person I have. Because I was at Pentecost, the brother stood down there. He was looking for the Holy Spirit. He couldn't get it. He was wanting to speak in tongues. He could not have it. But one day he just stood there and I was standing behind him. He just simply called down on the floor. You know, if I was not holding him, he would have hit his head. But today people must lay him down on the floor. Don't have to just hold him. Just sit down. They want to lie down on the floor as if they're all Muslim, but only this guy, I'm a holy person. What kind of order is that? Their mind is not at work in the right direction. That's why it is like that. You understand that? Okay. You know what? The Lord of God was given to us for one purpose. What was the Lord of God given for? It's to make us, as the Bible says, a school teacher. Is that right? You know, when you are in school, you are a principal, the teacher see that you misbehave, you have a, what you call, what master is that? A disciplinary master. So if a teacher or a prefect caught you misbehaving, he'll drag you to this disciplinary master. Isn't that? And the same thing, you know, the law is our schoolmaster. It drags us to Jesus Christ. It drags us to tell us that we have committed sin. And so the law drags us to the one who is the master or the lawgiver. You see that? So our mind, if our mind starts running away here and there, that's what the Holy Spirit would do. He drags us to bring us to Christ Jesus. So that in Christ Jesus, He would teach us to pattern our thoughts according to the Scripture. You understand that? We need to pattern our thoughts according to the Scripture. We cannot just have it anywhere, anyhow. And I feel, you know, I feel very frustrated. But people like Brother Nice, Brother Billy Joseph, and all these people, when they understand the Scripture, they can see the same thing. You know, when God tried to build a church, how can you, being a builder, part of the one who helps to build, and you do not even know your position? Whether you are a carpenter, a mason, or what you call an artisan or whatever, you know, you have your place. You see, you cannot do anything anyhow. You cannot train in that job. You see, so in the Church of God, this is first thing. That's why God put the apostles there to set the things in order, put the doctrines there. The apostles did that. And Titus, Sabinus, or Silas, and Timothy, Philemon, all these that follow Paul in the ministry, they learn from Paul. And Paul called them apostles even so, because he asked them to set the churches in order. You need to have a direction, a pattern where God set the church, how He set the church in order. Here you have a church that built up, I mean, they just come up and then they just want to, have anything they want to. They just give their opinion on the word of God they want to. And I believe this is just the way we see in the book of Ephesus. Here were this disciple of John up there in Ephesus. They never heard about the Holy Ghost, right? Why? God sent Paul to them. And as I said this, and I believe this is true, that any assembly, how big and how small it may be, if they are called of God, if they are really God's people, that God wants to establish them, and they have this humility in heart, God will send them the apostolic ministry. They cannot be wondering here and there, what is this, what is that, keep their own, you know, preaching and all of this. And it's very sad, there are people just like that. I'm a pastor of this church. You know what I mean? I've been in the fivefold ministry, but when the fivefold ministry comes in a way, it's not up to his understanding. So he opposes it. Many times our mind is made up of what we think is the truth. So when truth comes our way, we oppose it, automatically we oppose it, we go against it. And that is very dangerous. You see. You must be open up to God's word. You must be open up. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We never heard about the Holy Ghost. You know, but you know that. How were you baptized? We were baptized according to John's Baptist. Oh no. John Baptist was this, telling you about this coming Messiah, they baptized. Oh no. John told it to Apollos. Apollos did for us. That's it. Now, we hold on to John the Baptist teaching. That's it. But if your mind is sealed up that way, how are you ever going to learn? Do you ever examine yourself in the Word of God? That's just the one they say, okay, God sent a prophet, we have the message. But you ever look into the Word of God and see, okay, what does the message actually entail? How do I look into the Bible now that the prophet tells us to come back? He said this and there's this that will be confused to me. Then we look into the Word, see what the Bible said. There is a pattern there. You understand that? And when Jesus Christ, you know, let me say this to you. A lot of people still do not know. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he was working in Jerusalem. Do you know he was working in Jerusalem, right? The temple was there, huh? What was in the temple? Yeah, you have the temple, you have the labor. Yeah, you have the altar. You go in there in the holy place, you have the altar, and inside you have the table of shortbread and the candlestick. That's true. But behind the curtain, behind that curtain, the holy, most holy place, right? What was inside? Was there the Ark of the Covenant? There was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no Ark of the Covenant. There was just a scroll. According to history, it was just a scroll. But a lot of people believe that there was the Ark of the Covenant. It cannot be. Because my Bible told me, it tells me that the Ark was lost during the siege of Babylon upon Israel. Babylonians, you know, when they came to lay siege against Jerusalem, everything was ripped apart. And then God, even the Jews have lost the whole thing. You see? And then why? And it's very simple for me to understand. When I was reading the scripture, I know that years ago, I don't know much about history, I know that when Jesus was king on earth, he was the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant was the literal Ark of the Covenant, the physical cannot be there. You know what I mean? There cannot be two Ark. You see? And he was walking on truth, he was the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, what was it? What was the law? Is that right? And Christ was the law. Isn't it? What was it? How was it? It was the pot of manna. I wasn't here the one who did the manna. Yes. Isn't it right? And in that was the rod of Aaron, the budded, the show fruitfulness. And wasn't Christ the one, the fruitful one? It was right there walking on 2 feet. You see, that is a pattern the Bible is showing. If we cannot see it, we can't see it. That's why you need the Holy Ghost to teach, and that's where he has a pattern of bringing it out to the church. Not haphazardly here, this person have my opinion, that one have his opinion. In the end, we have nothing. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. You know, here, Paul is talking about grace. And he said, teaching us, or teaching him, the one, whoever it is, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we or he or she should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? How? By changing his thinking. You know, the ultimate target of God in dealing with your needs to get right into your mind. Is that right? It is said that, as Billy Joseph preaches, the eye is the window to the soul. And when we talk about the eye, it's only one eye sees. But our eyes, whatever you see, you're getting information, not only just the eye, but also the hearing, the senses. You know, and you get into the soul. And so God has to target that mind of yours. You see, you know, whether you it's valuable or not valuable, whether it's useless or not, God can change us.
You understand that? And so as Titus says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. You remember our mind, what happened in the Garden of Eden? The devil came, serpent came around and started to sow seed in the mind, in the garden of Eve's mind. Now mentally there was the garden. Remember that? The greatest battle ever fought. You know where it's fought, huh? Lord, man, preach on it. The greatest battle ever fought. What is it? What is the greatest battle ever fought? People think like, when Valorant give a title like this, the greatest battle ever fought. People think it's Waterloo. Huh? Or what? You know, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind of human. And every day there is this great battle being fought. It's in the mind. Maybe in a white God and a black dog thing. You know what I mean? So God has to take control of this. But you know, Eve, being there, the serpent came around and started to sow a seed. Plant a seed. And the seed thought, and Eve began to wrestle with it. And we all tend to do that too. I remember, my first time when I was in, when I went to the state, when the first time you ever go to any new place, you get excited. You want to see what's around, when I was there, the second time with my family, we take a side trip to Hawaii, Honolulu. So after in those days, you hear the tang 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 tang, Hawaii fire. Oh, you just okay. Let's see what Hawaii is like. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, that time, so we see all this Hawaii. So we went to Honolulu, we see all Waikiki Beach, a lot of people, are serving, and of course, some worshipper and all that stuff. And so we went around to this marketplace where you can all swim and walk around, So, there is a lot of things that happens then, at that time. But we realize that Honolulu in that area has changed a lot. But what happened was an Africa night, one night when my wife was sleeping already with Zanzi because they were real tired, they said very early. So I took a walk, out of the hotel to the site, it's just a tourist belt, just an orchard road. And the orchard today, you know what it's like now. At night, if you ever go out, young man, you know what it's like. In fact, I was even approached one time in orchard road. That's what happened out there in the night. You just walk in the street, there's a lot of shop. I just went to the shop and look, and here will come this hustler. Young girls coming out, street walkers. And that's what happened. They come up to you and approach to you, asking what you did and this and that. And of course, you know what that means. And all the very first thing I says, no. Don't you have $50? I have. So what? Don't you want a debt? I say, no. You know what I mean? Because you're being hustled. You are being approached by this streetwalkers, so wow. And while I was walking there, when I came back, I passed by a pharmacy, and right in the pharmacy there was a lot of commotion. It was an elderly man, he's not a black man rather, but he's like a Hispanic, and he was being followed by a streetwalker. He went into the pharmacy and hassled him. And he raised his voice very loud. You want me to call the police? You haul. You see what I'm talking about? The mind, if you don't want to set it straight, you will have it any way you want to go. Listen. And that's what I see some of the ministers that I know over in Africa that fell. One brother that I know in the past, he gets up to pastor. And Brother James Verum and I feel very pity for him, because when we met him and he came to the convention, we saw him dressed like he's like a millionaire. He said, I'm a preacher, I'm the way to dress code and all with attaché case. Come on, this is Africa, I dress like, when I went to the Philippines, I dress like a Filipino, I dress in t-shirt when I'm walking the streets. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to dress in coats and tie. Even in Africa. But what happened? He was monk. Then only he started to work himself up again, and he went to South Africa, and then he got into all the disease, HIV. A monk
life, brother and sister, literally transformed. It's just a whole lot of things that is coming in into us. And don't think that you can handle it. No, it's not easy to handle it. You see. And all the young people like to go out, you know, enjoy life out there and party and all these things. That's okay if you have a school group of you together and things like that, it's one thing. But there are people with nothing better to do. You ever see the street, you have young people sitting down, looking around, looking at girls, looking, I don't know what they're looking at. You probably know they're not looking at girls because they're one, they say bird watching. They're watching the people walking around, you know. You just get yourself all stirred up. And then later on, you know what happened. People have all, how the spirit works. So let us get this mind under control. And so, when he start to play with it, and she fall. The root of the problem is not the fruit. It's the root. It's in itself. That's why John the Baptist, when he came, said, the axe is led to the root. Now, when he preached, when the gospel began to go out, he cried out to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the axe is led from the root now. It's going to cut that thing. When Barabbas came in the message, the axe is led from the root of the system. It's finished. Do you understand that? And here we are in the message now. We have this message. People that is in the message. The massage. And I want to hear so much about all this message, the message, but don't even know what is it. And in the movement itself, you know, the axe is laid to the root too, because the five-fold ministry is here. You've got to lay it to the root. And there is a cause, it's not the apple. You know, the apple is bad, it's no use just to remove the bad apples. You have to kill the root completely, and there'll be no more bad apples. You see, the mind. So, until we get into the deep inside, and not everything else is just on the outside, you know, only in the external. Alright? Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. You know, the Bible here said that, don't look at the Bible yet. Don't look at the Bible yet. Just look at that. I forgot to ask you this. We all know the Bible said, we shall love the Lord our God with all our, can name it. First one. Our heart, okay, our soul, our what? Our mind. Wow, that means our strength.
Yes, sir.
Love our Lord with our heart, our soul, and our strength. What's the fourth one? Many of us forget the fourth one. We love our Lord with our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind. Finally, our mind. And this is one thing that we can love the Lord with all our mind, our strength. Just Lord, love with all my heart, my soul. But you know, to love God with all our mind, 100%, is difficult. Don't you know that, huh? How many of us really love our God with all our mind? Every time there is some problem coming out, our mind is running to that. Or we are thinking of something else. To love God with all our mind, 100%, is a real challenge. Because we need to subscribe ourselves completely to the Word of God. Be patterned after the Word of God and think like King David. King David, you know what? He really opened his heart to God, search me, O Lord. And when he sinned by taking Bathsheba, isn't it? From the captain, by sending him out into the battlefield, the great an area where there is no way, I mean, where there is the what we call that, where the thick of battle, so that he could die. And that was his. That was what he think in his mind, so he see. And he did it. And of course, Prophet Nathan came along and started to give him a story. Telling him a story. So what do you think, King David? You know, this rich man had everything, so many sheep, and here was a poor one, only one sheep. But when the rich man just wanted the sheep, a little one, and then killed it, you know what I mean, and a feast. And King David said, the rich man is guilty. And the prophet said, you are the one. And you know what? He immediately realized that he was wrong. Search me, O Lord. He remembered, he realized he was wrong. I mean, King David has committed a few errors here and there, mistakes here, but he was quick. You know, to love God with all our mind is a real challenge. To be able to say, yes, I'm wrong.
But how many of us really say, Lord, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of it. How many of us can really say that? When we approach and say that we are wrong. You know, we say, you make a mistake. You're not saying, you know, sometimes we feel guilty when we commit something wrong, somebody come and tell us. And we are very fast to put a defense. No, see, brother said, when you see a brother or sister make an error, we are telling that that thing that you did was wrong. We're not saying that you are bad. We're not saying that you're way out. No, we're saying that what you have done, this is an error. Do you understand that? You know, God, look at us. He does not hate sinners. You realize that? He hates sin. If he hates sinner, we cannot be saved today. And not right, because we are sinners once. He hates sin. He's coming to get away, stick the sin away from you. But he's not coming here to judge you. He's coming here to judge sinner, but just sin. But if you do not want your sin to be judged, then you still retain your sin. And so sin is still in you, so he has to judge the sin that is in you, and in the end you go with it. If he comes to judge sin and you realize that the sin is in you, he says, Lord, take it away. So I cannot be judged because I have no more sin. So how can God judge you anymore? How can God judge the righteous with the unrighteous? Huh? When he judged the righteous, remember we all have to appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. When we approach before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged, what do you think he'll judge us? Upon our sin? About our sin? No. Because the blood is already there. It covers you. He can't judge on our sin. He will judge according to our works. And he's coming to give us reward. We're coming before the Lord to be given reward. It's just like, that's a great example, like Chinese New Year. The great patriarch of the clan. You know, sometimes there's still a lot of family here in Singapore. They are very big, huh? And you still have a great grandfather. He may be 99, 95 years old sitting in, you know, in his big comfortable armchair, and all the sons and grandsons and great grandsons and daughter all appear. Maybe the whole family is 100 of them. Everybody come. You know what I mean? Obviously, the grandfather is sitting down there, and here comes the grandson. Have you been a good boy? Huh? Obviously, he won't be talking about. He will say, look at him and say, oh, how are you doing? I'm giving you this umpower, little gift for you. May you study hard and all this, right? Of course, he may hear from his son, you know, about his grandson. This one is not very good and have been very naughty. He will not be saying that I'll be naughty and all that. So be a good boy, I'm going to give you this, you know, we will bless you and so forth. I mean, that's what we are, because we are part of the family. You understand that? So they said to me, and I don't believe when you give your children ang pao on Chinese New Year, great packet, and I don't think you will tell your son you've been naughty last year, so this year I'm going to reduce your ang pao to half the amount or something, and you don't. You know what I mean? You'll say good thing about it. So when we are judged by Christ, you know, we are his brothers and sisters. He's giving us the reward. We are heir. Is that right? Of all things that is under Jesus. So he's giving us a reward. So we'll be judged according to what we have been. Is it to receive the reward, whether we have fulfilled the word of God accordingly in our place and what we have been doing? He will not judge us according to our sins. You see that? Do you understand that now? So our mind is very important to be able to quickly surrender to the Lord. What the Lord tells us, if you are wrong, you are wrong. Okay? So, remember this. We need to love God with all our heart, that is in Luke 10, verse 24. To love our Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you know one thing? We should never trust ourselves to be able to fulfill these scriptures throughout our whole lifespan of 80 years, 120 years. You cannot trust yourself to fulfill that. You need the Holy Spirit to guide us through. You can't. You think that, I can. I love the Lord with all my heart. I can do it. And when you try to do it, it's only with your own strength. You know what I mean?
But your strength and your heart desire, your soul desire, your mind desire must be completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like King David says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Praise the Lord. The time is almost up, so I'll just continue next two hymns next week. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Just this little talk this morning, Lord, about our mind. We know, Father, if there be any man or any woman that will not let the Holy Spirit tamper with his or her mind, Lord, when and where and how you choose to do, then that man or woman is no is not a one person, it's not a person that we should pattern after. So Lord, until we as Christians can think correctly, can renew our thinking, then we can never act correctly, Lord. And it is said, Father, if we believe right, if we think right, we will live right. So let our mind, Father, be patterned after our Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who said to do the things of God and fulfill the word of God, and who is our life example. When he prayed to God, he said, let your will be done. And so to let your will be done, Father, we need to surrender ourselves in our thinking to you. Each and every day, Father, in our walk, in our daily life, be with us, Lord. Help us, Father. Whatever comes into our mind, Father, whatever maybe that is in our thoughts, help us to think on those things that have virtues. Think on those things, Father, that is pleasing to you, Lord. So until we come to that place and think properly, Father, we know we are going to fail. We are going to act or do things, oh God, contrary. Have grace upon us, Father. Guide us. We know, Lord, it may be maybe just a couple more years before the Lord returned. And certainly, Father, we want to keep ourselves in your word. From the youngest one in this fellowship to the oldest one too, Father. Be with us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. God bless you.